Good afternoon. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I CRS. The time is 2 o'clock. The date is Wednesday, December 21st. We are meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Room, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. The Title Setting Board today consists of myself, Suzanne Steyert, Deputy Secretary of State on behalf of Wayne Williams, Fred Yarger, Solicitor General, designee of Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman, and Sharon Eubanks, designee of Director of Office of Legislative Legal Services, Dan Carton. Today we are meeting to consider the title setting for one measure, and for anyone who wishes to testify, there's a sign-up sheet on the back table. Hearing is being broadcast over the internet from the Secretary of State's website, and public restrooms are located on this floor. When the title board considers a proposed initiative for the first time, we will follow the following steps. First, the board may wish to ask questions of the proponents. This is to ensure the board understands the proposal. Then the board will determine if it has jurisdiction to set a title. In particular, the board must determine if the measure complies with the single subject rule prescribed in Article 5, Section 1, 5.5 of the Colorado Constitution and Section 1-40-106.5 of the Colorado Revised Statutes. This is because the board is prohibited from setting a title for a measure that contains more than one subject. If the board determines it has jurisdiction, the board will use a staff-prepared draft for discussion purposes. This is a hearing that we had a couple of weeks ago, and the proponents, it appears, took advantage of a section in the Constitution that allows them to take out a provision and skip the review and comment procedure. And so to that end, they removed what was subsection 3 in the proposed initiative and resubmitted it. Let's have the proponents come forward, and if you could just state your names for the record, just so that we know you're here.
Hayes, Golden, Colorado.
Julianne Page, Wheat Ridge, Colorado.
Okay. I don't think there's anyone signed up to testify, but does anyone, maybe we can take it a couple different steps. Does anyone on the board, first of all, have any questions about their resubmittal and whether it complies with the Constitution? Any questions for the proponents? If not, then okay. Then let's just jump back into a single subject. Does anybody have any questions for the proponents on that issue? No? Fred, do you have any questions?
I don't think so. I think, and just for the record, I did listen to the transcript of the previous hearing and understand the comments of the title board at that hearing. So I'll be prepared to discuss on the basis of that discussion.
Okay. The proponents have anything else you want to state regarding the submittal? No? Okay. All right. Well, I think last time I know at least I stated that my issue was really with number 3, and I hadn't analyzed the entire submittal at that time because that popped out as such an obvious second subject to me. So this time around, I've gone through the whole thing and looked at it, and I guess I'll start out with one that I'm not, one that I'm kind of on the fence on, which is the issue of including home rule cities and town within a county vote, whether or not that's changing the process in such a way that it violates a single subject. And then my other one had to do with the petition requirements, and in particular, one, having the county run the petition and have it affect all the cities. But maybe the more important one for me was the only one challenge on the petition and only one challenge for the signature sufficiency, and whether that was such a change to the petition process to be secondary. So I'll just toss my thoughts out there for discussion purposes and see what everybody else thinks.
You want?
Sure. I know this was mentioned at the last title board and was sort of tabled because of the concern with subsection 3, but I see a potential problem with subsection 2, given that most of this initiative suggests procedures through which limits on growth may be accomplished. Subsection 2 chooses particular jurisdictions on the Front Range and imposes specific limitations on them. I could see that as a sort of log rolling concern and as a separate purpose to this measure. I think the proponents last time mentioned that there were sort of two purposes to this measure. One was repealing or abrogating a law passed during Governor Owens' administration, and then secondly, creating these petition requirements. And that does strike me as potentially two subjects, and I'd welcome the other members' views on that now that subsection 3 has been removed.
And at our last meeting, I also had concerns about subsection 3. Since it's been removed, I don't have any additional single subject concerns. I do think that the measure is dealing with limitations on the growth of housing. I think it just sets forth two different processes. One establishes a limit for certain counties and cities and counties, and then establishes a process for everyone else that isn't covered by the specific limits to be able to impose their own. Plus, that process is then utilized by the specified counties and cities and counties once that limit can be modified or repealed. And so I see it all dealing with limitations on the growth of housing. And so I, you know, the fact that it sets out its own process in terms of signature requirements and whatever for the process that it establishes, I think they can do that within the measure because the process is just dealing with what they're establishing. They're not trying to change it for any other type of ballot measure. It's for the establishment of the limitations that are authorized in one and the modification of the limitations once that can occur under subsection 2. And so I don't have any single subject concerns.
And I guess as a purely reactive, you know, I don't really either. My concern is that in the past, well, I'll just say it's sort of difficult to go through the case law and determine what's a single subject and what's not. And it seems that the courts, the Supreme Court has been particularly concerned about issues that affect elections. And it seems that we see more reversals of single subject or more findings of not a single subject, whether the board felt one way or the other when we come to those issues involving elections. So I think at this point, you know, I'm willing to go forward, but I would, I guess, point out to the proponents that that has in the past been an issue. You know, I'm sure this will be back for a rehearing and we can vet that out a little bit further, but you know, I think I'm kind of in between where Sharon is and maybe where Fred is on this, but I'm probably willing to go ahead and set the question and let the court tell us. So you want to make a you want to say anything?
No, I don't think so. I think I'd be willing to proceed to a vote. I think I would dissent.
Right. Okay. You want to make the motion?
I move that we find that proposed initiative 2017-18 number 4 as resubmitted to the title board, contains a single subject, and we proceed to set a title.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
One. Nay.
All right. So it passes 2-1, which means we will proceed to set a title. So we have a staff draft. Do the proponents have anything you wish to offer on the staff draft?
I looked it over. It seems very straightforward. I agree with it.
Okay. All right. We'll probably go about doing some modifications, and then I might ask you toward the end if you have anything you want to add.
In terms of the statement of the single subject, one thing that I'm a little uncomfortable with, and I know that the terminology of the privately owned residential housing unit appears in subsection 2 of the measure, but the terminology in subsection 1 just refers to housing. And so I'm a little uncomfortable using the more specific term, at least in the statement of single subject. I'd be more comfortable if we just talk about perhaps the growth of limitations on the growth of housing units and also drop the statewide, because I'm not sure what that's intended to do, but
okay.
To just sort of make it more general, more to cover. I don't know if there's a significance in the difference in the terminology between subsection 1 and 2, but I just want to make sure that we're covering everything.
Okay.
I agree with that. I think we could probably just use the term housing growth, and given my objections, whereas I sort of see Section 2 not really applying statewide, but applying to specific enumerated Front Range counties, I think using the term statewide in the statement of single subject is a little bit misleading.
Okay. And so I would just remove the language, strike the language that starts there on line 2 about private. I'd leave the growth of, strike privately owned residential, leave housing units, and then strike statewide. And we can, if you'd rather go housing, limitations on housing growth, I think it is, limitations on the growth, on the number of housing units, whether that's helpful to folks.
I just don't know. Section 1 talks about housing growth. And then there are more particularized discussions of housing units and growth in privately owned housing. I would prefer just using the more generic term housing growth.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, growth of housing or housing growth is fine.
Okay, and so I would move the changes as reflected on line 2.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The next change, and I don't know if it's necessary or not, and I guess perhaps I should have asked the proponents one question, and that's because of the use of in the staff draft, it uses the term, it has the laundry list, city, town, city and county, or local government. And when you look at the measure itself, it talks about every city, town, city and county, or local county. And I assume that just means a county. I don't know that there's a local county versus anything else. And the staff draft says local government, and I don't know quite what to do with the terminology in terms of how closely to track, whether it'd be more accurate to say county and drop the local government completely, because to me, local government includes all the previously itemized entities, the city, the town, city and county, and whether it'd be more accurate just to say or county.
I'm not sure how this would apply to unincorporated areas or.
Well, they'd be part of a county.
They're part of the county.
So the county would be the unit that would be required to have the vote.
Right. Plus, as I understand it, then even a county could make it applicable within incorporated areas within the county. And so I think it's supposed to be county
Is in Title 31, is it just refer to cities and towns? There's no other, we know. There's not a village. I think a lot of cities call themselves.
Are there any districts that have authority over housing permits?
The special districts don't, but I don't.
School districts don't.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times we use the term municipality to cover
right.
cities and towns, but that's really the only.
I guess we don't have to track it exactly. That's probably.
What if we just said permitting the electors of local government?
Except it's not all local governments because it's not.
It's not special districts. It's not school districts.
Yeah. Sure.
I define local county because there's always some confusion. In Colorado, there's two home rule counties, Pitkin and Weld. All the rest of them are statutory, or what most people refer to as unincorporated, which would be the local government county, which that part of the county, which is which would be in Jefferson County, for example, would be the unincorporated county. It right. is a separate local government from, say, Arvada or Wheat Ridge. It's not defined as a municipality, even though nationally they often consider counties a municipality. They operate as one, but they don't have, they're statutory, and they don't have the right of initiative and referendum in Colorado. So there is a very odd separation. It's hard to define it. You can't say unincorporated because there's two counties that aren't. And so and you
well,
can't
you
really
can
call
say,
it a municipality.
You can call it a statutory county or a home rule county, just like
yes,
you do a city.
You could.
Why don't we just track the language of the measure?
And just go with local county?
Yeah.
Well, it's just that there is no such thing as a local county. I mean, it's just a county.
Or just use county.
Yeah. I mean, we could just use county.
Yeah. But avoiding the term local government.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine with me.
Huh. Okay. So I would move the change on line 3.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And I would just suggest there on line 3, right after limit, there's a such housing growth. I think you can just say to limit housing growth. Since we broadened the right. single subject, there's
yeah.
no need to refer back. And so I would move that change.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next phrase about, which is dealing with the ability of a county to impose a housing growth limit uniformly within the county. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure the way the staff draft is drafted conveys that concept and whether it would be that it's more that the county voters by initiative and referendum can limit the housing growth uniformly within the county, including within all local governments located in the county. But I'm not sure that the way that the staff draft is written, one, conveys the right concept or is perhaps even accurate to what the measure provides.
Yeah you can.
I think countywide would take place of permitting county voters by initiative. I'm sorry, permitting countywide initiative and referendum. That's my suggestion.
Yeah, I think you got to point out that you're going to take away the home rule city because we talk about countywide votes all the time that don't apply to home rule cities. So I think you have to point out somewhere in there that, I mean, you don't have to say home rule, but that it's also affecting the cities. I mean, part of it is that it's kind of odd the way they say within all or part of any city that is located. Well, it's actually all of any city located. I mean, if it's located, it's...
Unless a city crosses county boundaries.
Right. But then still all of the city that's in the county. I mean, you can't parse out a piece of the... I guess what I'm saying is it almost makes it sound like you could do half of Denver and not the other half.
Right.
You could do part of a city, even though it's within a county.
Well, Denver's unique because it's a city and county.
I know. I'm just saying that.
But what in Jefferson County, you have Littleton, you have Superior, and you actually even have some of Adams County residents, I believe, that one way or the other. But anyway, you have cities where their government is located somewhere else. Part of them is in the county. That's what I mean by any part of such. So that you have Littleton that has a significant growth in Jefferson County, their government is over there off Santa Fe.
Yeah, what I'm saying is this makes it sound like Lakewood, which is all in Jefferson County, that you could do half of Lakewood.
Oh, I see.
Or perhaps another way that to simplify it would be to say, permitting county voters by initiative and referendum to limit such housing growth uniformly within all incorporated and unincorporated territory of the county. I mean, without getting into specifically referencing cities.
What if we just said within all or part of the county?
Well, it's going to be all of the county, right?
I would assume so.
I think you get rid of such again.
Taking the low-hanging fruit.
You read it.
I mean, if we think that the voters will understand the distinction between incorporated and unincorporated, or whether we need, it would be more helpful to be specific in terms of, to say within the county, including within the cities, you know, or something, within cities.
I think part of the confusion here is that the measure as drafted suggests that the growth limits could be implemented in parts of the county or parts of the local governments within the county. So the language itself is a bit ambiguous.
Right.
Although the word uniformly seems to
how you try to harmonize all that.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I think people understand what... incorporated and unincorporated, or...
Why don't we just say housing growth uniformly within the county? Including local governments contained within the county.
I don't think most people know what incorporated county means. Does that mean the cities within the county?
Yeah.
Yes.
As I don't think the average person would understand what incorporated and unincorporated. They know what unincorporated is, but not what incorporated is.
Well, it's the opposite of...
I suggest I tend to agree with that. I would just suggest to limit housing growth uniformly within the county, including local governments within the county, or something to that effect. Because I think what we're all concerned about is making clear that a countywide vote preempts whatever decision of the local government, whether home rule or not, or whatever the...
Would there be a comma
between county and including on line 5 to set off? I mean, because the statement is that it's uniformly within the county, and then you're giving additional details, including local governments within the county?
I think it's a clumsy construction, but that I think the idea at least is helpful, maybe.
I never know about commas, and it's just without the
comma. No, I'm sorry. I'm not talking about the comma. I'm talking about my suggestion generally.
I mean, whether you say including all local governments or all or part of local, I mean, which sort of tracks the.
Yeah.
Including all or part of local governments within the county.
That seems to make sense to me.
And I would move the changes on lines 4 and 5 in this.
No.
Any more discussion?
No.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So this proposal also, doesn't it also affect individually local governments? So it's not just about county votes, but it's also saying that if you want to, in 5A, if you want to regulate the growth of privately owned housing for local government, whether statutory or home rule, it shall be 5% of the total number of voters participating. Is that hitting local government? Is that what your initiative is doing? Is it talking about more than counties? Is it saying that I, as a citizen of Aurora, can run something for Aurora, or do I have to run something in the county? Yeah. What do you think your initiative is doing?
You're talking about Arapahoe County?
Well, no, I'm just, is your initiative also replacing initiative procedures for cities?
No.
No?
Just for county-wide initiatives.
Okay. Well, it's just kind of odd because it says local government and then it defines local government as a city, town, etc.
Only in the context of a countywide, you have to address how countywide is going to be. Right now, it's done similarly. If you were to have a, say, home rule county vote, then the county clerk is in charge of Home Rule County proposition. So I think in Jefferson County, it's 8% of the active voters throughout the county, although you don't have to go to each local government to get the signatures. You just get them whenever you get them within the county. This requires that you go to each local government and get a kind of like the new 71 makes you go to each senatorial district and get 2% of the voters in each senatorial district. So it's similar to that. But in a countywide, you got to have somebody. You can't have a hodgepodge of different cities with their own rules. So the county clerk would simplify things.
Yeah, it's just not very clear to me that this is only touching on county votes.
Are you talking about 5A,
yeah.
Suzanne? Yeah, I agree with you.
Signature requirements for initiative and referendum for enacting, repealing for local governments, whether statutory or home rule, shall be 5% of the total number of voters participating in the most recent election in such local government. Then it goes on to say such proposals on a countywide basis, almost seeming like there's you know, you can choose countywide or you can choose local. And then added to that in section one, where it says the electors of every city, town, you know, every city, town, county. It doesn't say the electors of every county shall reserve the right to limit housing within a city or county. It says every elector of every city, town. And then down below, it talks again about local governments, which it defines as cities and town. I mean, it makes it sound like if you have a proposal that you want to run countywide, then you got to go through the county clerk. But if you have a proposal you want to run just citywide, this is kind of unclear about what that process is. But it makes it sound like even if you're just going to run it citywide, that if it has to do with the growth, you only need 5% of the total number of voters in the most recent general election of such city, which is different than what a lot of home rule cities have. Some have, you know, 15% to run a, you know, they have different standards to run initiatives in different home rule cities.
Yes, it does limit local governments to 5% signatures.
So if I want to run an initiative in Aurora, which was my question, then I only have to collect 5% if I'm running it in Aurora.
Yes. I think it's less than that right now. I'm not sure. And Lakewood is 5%.
Surprised to have a city have less than 5%, but.
But Arvada is 10% of the registered voters. It's virtually impossible to put something on the ballot in Arvada, which is what they want.
Okay, but I mean, regardless of the policy, my question was, does this affect cities? And you at first said no, it was just counties. And now you're saying, yes, it affects the percentage of signatures required to run this kind of initiative in a city.
That's right.
Okay.
I was confused. I thought you were okay. Still talking about county.
No. Then I think that needs to be in the question, if that's how other people read it, because it's not in there. This question just makes it sound like we're only talking about county votes.
Well, but doesn't the first phrase after in connection therewith, I mean, give the concept that it's, you know, on a city, town, city and county or county basis? And then, I mean.
Yeah, I think we should say changing the petition requirement or something. I mean, we're changing the petition requirements in a whole lot of charters when it comes to.
I thought that might be able to be appended to the end as a new clause in here. I mean, because the procedural requirements and the challenge requirements specified in Part 5 of the initiative are very significant and might deserve their own treatment.
Yeah, we could do it at the end, too. I just think we need to say something about how this is specifying that the number of signatures required to run one on a local.
I would suggest using the term setting requirements, rather than getting specific and saying 5% of active voters or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we start with just finalizing the remainder of the language okay. on the screen, and then I do agree that we need to revisit and include within the title the significant changes to the initiative and referendum requirements.
I think in terms of the staff draft as it currently appears on the screen, the only other concern I had was it right now does not mention anything about the prohibition about the issuance of new permits in the subsection 2 entities between the vote being declared and I think it's January 1st of 2019. And I do think that that's a significant feature of the measure and whether, and so to add some language in.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay. In terms of sequence, I guess perhaps if we, on line 8, if we strike the and before permitting, And then on line nine, after referendum, add that, and then maybe say something along the, and I don't know if a short way of saying this, so prohibiting the issuance of new permits for privately owned housing units by local governments. And I feel compelled because it's only to those it's only to the subsection two entities that we have to say located in whole or in part within those counties and cities and counties, which sort of follows, I think, in terms of sequence, since the last limitation we're talking about is for the cities and counties and the specific counties until January 1st, 2019. Within those counties and those cities and counties until January 1st, 2019. until January 1st, 2019.
Seems to me we're adding two full sentences to inform the public of something they really aren't interested in.
Well,
I don't see how that's important as far as what people are voting on.
Yeah,
and most
placing a moratorium on Front Range building for an entire year would be extremely significant to the voters.
This is only for a month or two.
If it's at the 2018 election.
This is just between the election and the 1st of January. Like I'd mentioned last time, you get a feeding frenzy. I've been there, done that. And they can issue as many as 10% growth in 2 months. This is what I'd like to avoid. You have these zoning jurisdictions going absolutely crazy. There'll be a line out of the courthouse for people trying to get building permits during that 2 months, and they're not really prepared to begin this process. I think they should take the time and figure out how they're going to implement this, and rather than being bombarded for building permits. But again, I don't think the average voter is going to be particularly interested, and it adds an awful lot of words and two sentences with very little information.
Well, even assuming, I mean, I think even that is a concern then, because as soon as the vote comes in, I think that you might get the same phenomenon. I think this is a significant feature, and it does need to be called out. I don't know if we can tighten that up, but it does track the language, and I'm comfortable with it.
And I agree that I think it's a significant feature, even if it's for a short period of time. In terms of a moratorium, I think it needs to be included. And that's why I suggested it.
I'm just looking at the in whole or in part and seeing if it's
I know.
Consistent with what we did before.
You can simplify it, be my guest, because I don't know.
No,
I mean, based on the language of the measure.
I agree.
I
would move that language.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
My only question about the language is on line 10, instead of within those, do you want to use within such? Because that's what you did in line 8. And it almost seems to me that we should be consistent that we're only, you know, everything that we've done since we've named the counties has to do with those specific counties.
And that's the concept I was trying to get across.
Right.
I mean, because you're dealing with the subsection two limitation, which is county and.
And there are no cities, right, within such counties. I mean, what we name up there are all counties, right?
Well, and.
Cities and city counties.
There's two cities and counties.
Right.
And that's why I actually, even though in the measure, I think cities and counties appear first.
Right.
But because of the confusion of to say such cities and counties and counties, I've reversed the order just to help try to keep the concept of cities and counties as an entity separate from the counties. But
okay.
I'm fine with just replacing the those's with such as.
I'm good with that.
I move the changes on 10 and 11.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry, right. I just got me really stuck on that.
I think if we just find some language that explains the significant changes to the initiative and referendum requirements. I don't know if we can do sort of a catch-all saying and changing.
Yeah, well, we're not changing the referendum, right? We're just changing the initiative.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. Petition requirements for initiatives.
It's a referendum thing. Just. Are we?
Yeah, I'm already trying to work on some language because I didn't have that particular concept worked out in advance. But I'm thinking about when you talk about changing, it's true. And usually when we say change, we say changing from this to that to give, you know, notice of that. Whereas while this is changing the process, whether you could maybe capture the concept better by saying establishes new procedures or new requirements or whatever, so that it still gets across the idea that it's different than the current requirements, say for, you know, number of signatures or whatever it may be for a local government, but it's establishing specific procedural requirements for this purpose only.
Right.
That might
so,
be way
yeah, we could say establishing procedural requirements for initiatives in.
And whether you want to get into any of the details of what those are, then we can go there if you want. But I wanted to get away from the sort of compare and contrast because
right.
It seemed like if you're changing from to this.
Yeah. And I guess I don't need to say what we're changing from and to because it's going to be different in every city, but I would like to say, you know, for city, towns. City and county, you know, make sure that people understand we're also including cities.
Why don't we say local governments, whether statutory or home rule?
Yeah, that'd be fine too. Then we're back to whether people know what that means, but I think we've used that before. Home rule.
And I would say establishing procedural requirements for initiatives for local governments, comma, whether statutory or home rule, comma, concerning limits on housing growth or something like that.
Right.
Because
not for everything, yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't read this to say that procedural requirements for initiatives not concerning housing growth would be affected.
Okay.
Good with that.
Okay. I move those changes.
Sorry. I was just going to say all in favor, but you hadn't got your second.
Okay. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I don't have anything else.
Do you have anything else?
I don't know.
Okay. Then let me read the question in. As it reads right now, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning limitations on the growth of housing and in connection therewith, permitting the electors of every city, town, city and county or county to limit housing growth by initiative and referendum, permitting county voters by initiative and referendum to limit housing growth uniformly within the counties, including all or parts of local governments within the county, establishing procedural requirements for initiatives for local governments, whether statutory or home rule, concerning limits on housing growth, limiting the growth of privately owned residential housing units in the city and counties of Broomfield and Denver and in the counties of Adams, Arapahoe, Boulder, Douglas, El Paso, Jefferson, Larimer, and Weld to 1% annually for the years 2019 and 2020, permitting such growth limitations to be amended or repealed commencing in 2021 by initiative and referendum, and prohibiting the issuance of new permits for privately owned housing units by local governments located in whole or in part within such counties and such cities and counties until January 1, 2019.
I would move the title as it was read into the record.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. All right. So that will be the title, and then there will also be a question in that same form. And for anyone who wishes to have a rehearing, I believe it has to be filed within 7 days of today. And at current time, is that right? 7 days, Steve? Yeah. The current time is 2:45, and we are adjourned. Thank you.